Welcome along to the D Word podcast, where we talk dementia. Good to have you company again for another podcast. On this edition, something close to my heart. I was honoured back in 2020 to be invited to be chair of the non-profit Stepping Out with Carers, which looks to provide much-needed respite for carers from the challenges of daily life through the joy of walking in natural surroundings. My guest on the podcast this week is Chief Executive Sue Mott. Well, Sue, it's a pleasure to have you back as my guest on the D Word. Looked it up. We last talked on the show in November 2022. So there's a little bit of water under the bridge since then. So I guess before we get into the main idea of what we're going to talk about today, just remind us a little bit about Stepping Out with Carers and particularly how it started back in 2016.
Well, it all began as a complete accident, Pete, as these things do. And I was pestering somebody at a carers organisation because I wanted to know why nobody came on the disabled walks run by the Ramblers in Kent. I had recently moved down to Kent. They discovered I was a journalist, and so they set me this task. And while I was talking to the woman, she said, well, it's because you don't involve their carers. That hadn't occurred to us. But of course, it's the most blindingly obvious thing in the world. And then she said, why don't you organise a walk for Carers Week for us? So a couple of us thought, how do we do this? And we decided, start at one pub, finish at another pub, and choose a lovely coastal path in between. And we thought it would be a one-off. We'd never do it again, never pay it any more heed. But on that walk, we met 14 carers, and their stories, they told us, were so mind-blowing. And the pleasure we all had in meeting one another and then going for fish and chips. And we thought, oh, go on, then we'll do it again. And the next time we did it, we went up from 14 people to 52. And at that point, we realised we better just keep going. And here we are.
That was 8 years ago. Lots gone since 8 years. But again, you know, there's plenty of scientific evidence in there out there. People have written papers, have done research projects on the positive effects of going out and meeting the environment, as it were. But, you know, as you just described, it's nothing like people's reaction, really, is there?
No. There really isn't. And the thing is, if you're a carer for somebody, you know, it might be really, really full on 24/7. It might be much less time than that, but still incredibly challenging if you're juggling a job as well. And so how are you supposed to think, right, we're going out for the day. How are we going to get there? You might have had to give up your car. It might be difficult to get someone with a wheelchair in your car. You know, then you've got to think about packed lunch. Then you've got to think about paying to get in. Oh, my God, there's just so many challenges and barriers. So when we set out to do this, it's not just the walk we provide somewhere gorgeous. It is also the transport, if you need it, door to door. And it's lunch. And it's entirely free. And you'll be with people who won't have exactly the same experience as you, but they'll be in similar situations. So you can laugh, you can cry, you can eat cake, you can share, and you'll be in beautiful surroundings. And so that is the entire package.
Yeah, and the package includes cake, which I know you mentioned.
Haven't I? Oh, massively. Yes, if I had to name the one most important thing we do, it would definitely be the provision of cake.
Now, you know, I've spoken to a number of carers organisations. I spoke to Dementia Carers Count recently, actually. And one of the things they brought up was that some people don't actually consider themselves having the title of carer. Because they feel that they're just looking after a loved one, a friend or whatever. And they don't actually put themselves in that role.
Yeah. And it sounds quite formal, doesn't it? The title carer. And it might even sound a little removed from what you think you're doing, which is just loving someone. or being dutiful to somebody because they're your family member or a dear friend. So that is why whenever you see the figures quoted for there being 5.2 million carers in this country, Carers UK say that's a bit misleading because those are the people who wrote themselves down in the recent census as being a carer, an unpaid carer. But in actual fact, they think the figure is more likely to be 10 million for precisely that reason.
Yeah, and that's that's a massive burden on those people. That's saving a massive amount in terms of the NHS, social care, etc. It's a great thing. You know, it's close to my heart because I'm involved with the charity. And social prescribing is something that, I know we've talked about, but for the audience, it seems pretty obvious to me that you don't want to say, you're a carer, have this pill, it'll sort it all out, because it won't. But yeah. Why not say, you're a carer, have this package of help for you, which, may not 100% sort it out, but it will certainly go towards help. I mean, how successful do you think social prescribing's been?
I think there has been numerous barriers to it working because in various counties where we operate, so we operate in Kent, Hertfordshire, Manchester and Doncaster, there isn't any link up between us, the carers' organisations and then the NHS, doctors' surgeries essentially. And each surgery was supposed to have a carer's champion that would find out which of their patients were carers and then put them in touch with us as a social prescribed organisation. But quite honestly, they are so busy, some of them are so chaotic, that carer's champion has never really responded to us and linked us up. So what we tend to do is go sort of abandon the NHS system and go straight to organisations like Dementia Care, Parkinson's organisations, go to one of their meetings in person and say, here we are, here's our flyers, this is what we do. And it's a person-to-person thing. It doesn't seem like there is a connection, a proper professionally run connection via, the NHS settings.
Yeah, I think it's a familiar story, sadly, I think, for a number of people doing very good work. I mean, it's not like spreading the story. I love the blog on the website, especially the 100 Carers' Lives in 100 Objects. And as you know, I'm a music fan, so particularly the one with the Jerry Lee Lewis record on it as well. But for carers to get together and just talk about, I don't know whether it's not the right word, probably, but normal things, he's so valuable.
That's exactly what they say. They say they don't want to be reminded all the time that they're in, a carer and this person they're with today is someone cared for. They want to feel that they're just regular humans looking around them and having chats about perfectly everyday things with other regular humans. So the whole concept of us being walk leaders and volunteers and them being our participants is eradicated. We're just all oohing and aahing at the same beautiful plants, sitting down for a cup of tea, talking about whatever comes up. And that little green space of normality is something that often they say carries them right through to the next month and the next walk.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Voting for the 2024 UK Health Radio Awards is now open, and we have a dementia support category named in honour of our late friend Wendy Mitchell. There are 8 nominees this year: Alzheimer Speaks, Derek Brown, The Philo Project, together for Sharon, Remy Lloyd, Musical Walkabout, Keith McIntosh and Anderson Simfukwe, who have all been guests on the podcast during the past year. There's also, for the first time, a chance to vote for your favourite UK health radio show. All the details are on the website at www.ukhealthradio.com. So do get voting. Back now to my chat with Sue from Stepping Out with Carers. And when we're talking about walks, we're not talking about marathons here, are we? Because, some people might be put off a little bit. Oh, I don't know if I can walk that far or whatever. But it doesn't matter, does it? The walk is just the bit that joins everything together.
Well, first of all, we always do at least two walks. When we have one of our big walking festivals, we're doing four walks in the same place. So whatever distance you can travel, even if it's with a, walking trolley or in a wheelchair and you can go about 10 yards, then that's you absolutely included. But we know that some people, people with dementia may be perfectly capable to walk miles, and it's a relief to them to do so and a relief for the person they care for to do so. So we always have a longer walk as well. And that way you can get maximum benefit and then everybody comes back together in whichever cafe or pub or, setting that we're going to have our lunch together.
Well, I think you've seamlessly introduced the walking festivals there. So we'll we'll move on to the biggest Step Out 24. Tell us about it.
Oh, Pete. Why did we get so ambitious? What happened last year was, what happened 4 years ago is we thought, let's have a bigger walk. Let's have something called the Big Step Out and let's choose a venue, have three walks, get volunteers in, stick up bunting, just make a bit of a thing of it and invite more people. And then we had roads closed and the inevitable happened. It simply poured with rain. I mean, it was a deluge. So that was Big Step Out one. The next year, there was another deluge and we were all soaked to the skin. The following year, we moved to Hatfield. That was last year. And that was beautiful sunshine. And we did three walks and we had music and dancing as well as walking. And it was a really big success. And, why could we not have just stopped there and said, okay, this is going to be our Big Step Out festival in the future. So we are having a walking festival at Hatfield House on the 12th of June. But we thought it's unfair on the rest of the world and other carers not to be somehow included. So we came up with the idea of the Big Step Out 24, which is everyone, anywhere, anyhow, as long as they're doing steps, can join in. And so we've made it that wherever you are, if you, between the dates of the 12th of June and the 25th of June, 2 weeks, if you're doing something that involves steps or trots or wheels, or basically you're moving, you can send us your number of steps on social media. We will count them. And we're going to see how far we can go for unpaid carers. That's it in a nutshell. And it's doing my head in.
I've already got visions, actually, of a blue beater-type globe with footsteps all around it as to, how far people can walk.
We don't know if we're going to get that down to Hatfield Roundabout, whether we'll get to Shangri-La. We've no idea. But we just thought we'd throw it open to everyone, basically, because we thought how nice for unpaid carers to see how many people are thinking of them and wishing them well. They're not forgotten, as they sometimes very much feel that they are.
Yeah, very much the forgotten army. And, good for unpaid carers to see that other unpaid carers are all taking part. And it's a real sense of community, isn't it?
Well, it is. That's what we wanted to feel. And then we thought, well, there must be some people out there, some sort of high profile people who wouldn't mind putting their name to this. And we wondered if they would. And now we've got Olympian Sir Steve Redgrave doing it, Dame Mary Peters doing it at Windsor Castle, no less. Judy Murray doing it down in Eastbourne during the tennis. Claire Balding's doing it with her dog. The Leeds Rhinos en masse are doing it, the rugby league team. Emma Wiggs, a fantastic Paralympian, is doing it. And fanfare, none other than the sequin-covered Anton Dubec is doing us some dance steps.
Oh, dear, that really does cap it off, doesn't it?
Yeah,
again, loads of visions there. But and also importantly, four-legged friends are involved as well.
Oh, absolutely. Dogs are major contributors to this, not least because their steps are always more multiple than ours on any walk, aren't they? They go further than we do, and they've got four legs. So whatever you do in steps, we're going to double them for the dogs.
Yeah, I think that's only fair. I'll let Benny know that one.
Oh, please. Benny's very vital to this count.
But
point is, we're saying to everyone, you know, please send us your pictures. Tell us who you're walking for, which carer you're representing. If you are a carer, tell us your story. So we hope that our social media and lots of other people's will just be full of people telling a happier story that we're all in this together and letting us know what they're up to.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, very important. You mentioned the word the happier story. Carer burnout is, you know, a big issue. Just before we were on, I thought I'd point to Google sort of carer burnout, the effects. And basically, I couldn't find a great deal, to be honest, because I was looking for numbers or whatever. And that signifies to me that not too many people have actually researched this whole issue. Because carers are so wrapped up in trying to look after the person they're caring for, which is a great thing. But suddenly all those signs of carer burnout just don't register. And we don't seem to kind of get onto the research wagon of trying to find out, you know, just how many people are affected here.
I often think that. I often think, really, to the authorities, carers and someone cared for are a problem solved. You know, there is someone in need there, and luckily someone in that house or next door or up the road is looking after them. So they're just blanked out of our thought waves. But in actual fact, quite often carers become ill themselves, mentally or physically, because of what they're doing. So if we don't keep them going and celebrate them, that's what we're trying to do here, you can imagine how much greater would be the toll it would take on everybody. I mean, if all 10 million carers stopped looking after the 10 million people they were caring for, that would be 20 million people descending on the NHS.
Yeah, I just gave it a pause there so people could register what is, you know, just a phenomenal figure. I spoke, and he will be appearing on the show in a few weeks' time, to an organisation called AgeWave in the US. And the point they made was that not only are the people that are cared for ageing, but also so are the carers.
Yes.
And sometimes the support mechanism does not go with the fact that the carers themselves are ageing as the person they care for is ageing.
Oh, definitely. I regularly hear of people in their late 80s caring for somebody of a similar age or in their 90s. Well, that is not a long-term prospect, and the pressure on that family is just immense. And yet, there's an election going on. How many times have you heard social care being mentioned?
To be fair, you know, we've got a big audience in the US, and, you know, I've tried to tie the two together also, because they, you know, they've got an election that's coming up as well.
Yeah.
One of the things that was mentioned to me about the American election was that because the two major contestants are of the age they are, aging and caring is not anything they want to mention, which is
an interesting point.
You know, when you consider Trump 77, Biden 80, whatever, That's possibly a point. We don't have that here, but you're absolutely right, because, you know, there's campaign going on and will be going on till the 4th of July. And yet carers, you know, I'd be very surprised if somewhere between now and the 4th of July, the word carer actually gets mentioned in a campaign, let alone any sort of proactive policy.
I know. And it's funny because we're talking about how strapped we are for cash and how, you know, we have to look everywhere to keep funding defence and all the other things we need. But the carers, it has been estimated, save this country $162 billion a year. And not to mention them seems a bit churlish to me.
Oh, absolutely. You know, completely. And as you say, the figures are vastly underestimated anyway as to the you know, the number of people we're looking at. And, you know, that figure that you just put out could probably be multiplied by a few when we actually get the true number of people that are caring. And, you know, carers come from all, you know, talked about ageing, but, you know, look at the other end of the scale as well. You know, we have carers all the way through the age ranges, don't we?
Yes, we do. And of course, we have parents who are carers of children. We have carers in Hertfordshire who are looking after three children with autism. She tried going to work, but it was absolutely impossible. She said it's really rewarding, but exhausting, and of course, very isolating. So all the way down the scale, you have people of virtually every age, and as you know, child carers. And what they all say without fail to me at some point or other, well, they say, well, you've just got to keep carrying on, haven't you? Just got to keep going. That's their mantra, because they know without them keeping going, the person that they care for is in dire peril. They have literally no choice.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the other suggestions that was put to me was that why do we not tie caring with occupations and jobs? And so, you know, you go for a job and, you know, an enlightened employer will look at the issue of childcare and make some sort of provision, whereas employers don't look at carer responsibility for other members of the family.
No.
And, you know, why are we not joining the... It seems pretty obvious, you know, like you found in 2016 with the walk, it seems pretty obvious. Why are we not joining these two together?
I suppose it's because it doesn't... Because the carers are doing it in these isolated pockets with themselves, because they are... Every day is a challenge, isn't it? Every day has got something, whether it's hospital visits or just trying to get your head together if you've been up five times in the night and all the rest of it. I think it's because carers, unpaid carers, haven't unionised. I mean, they've got Carers UK doing the political job of voicing things really well, especially over the latest thing, which is that they suddenly had their carers' allowance cancelled if they went a few pence over the earning sort of threshold. But there isn't anybody constantly battling away to tell the individual stories of carers night and day so that we, society, recognise what they go through. I had no idea, obviously, until I started these walks with them. And now I think they're perhaps one of the most important groups in our society. But generally speaking, the political world and even the social world hasn't quite recognised that.
You know, they're the kind of more straightforward formal channels, I guess. Turning to another kind of national scandal we had, which was the post office affair. Mm. The post office affair was actually brought out more by a docudrama on ITV than any of the formal approaches. You know, do you think that, you know, is that what carers need? Something like that?
Because that's really interesting.
You know, when you mentioned the thing about the benefits or whatever, I looked at that and thought, well, that is every bit as bad as the post office scandal here. But I bet nobody's going to, you know, put three nights on television about it, but they really should.
Oh, Pete. Okay, well, you and I can start working on the dialogue. Bit of drama thrown in. I'm sure that would be, I mean, why not? It would be, I mean, like Kathy Come Home about the homeless all those tens of years ago. It dramatizes the situation and brings you up short and makes you think, how are we letting this happen?
Yeah.
Okay, it's a deal.
Okay, we'll work on that. But don't want to give you more to do, but you know what we're like.
Not right now.
You know, you know what we're like. But you know, talking about not wanting to give you more to do, but obviously you're involved with the Hartford Chick and Manchester and Doncaster. But with a worldwide audience, this is a worldwide problem. Do you know anybody else in kind of around the world that's kind of looking at this kind of fairly simple but really important approach of getting carers out there in the environment and just letting them live their lives?
Well, I'm sure that you must have lots of great connections in the USA especially, and may have come across people who are trying to do this in their pockets and corners. The thing is, it always has to be accessible for people who can't travel very far. So it tends to be each community. I mean, a county is just about the right size, builds up its own group. And all you can do is hope that with the publicity involved here, especially this year, other communities may think, oh, we could do this here. We could do this here. So it wouldn't be the whole of Germany doing it or, you know, all the Seychelles Islands. But I'm sure that once they got that small community together, they'd find it as utterly magical and, you know, life-affirming and celebrational as we do.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
This week on the podcast, I'm chatting to Sue Mott from Stepping Out with Carers. You know, one thing to get across to people must be that even if there's three or four of you, okay, and you think, oh yeah, we'd like to go for a walk. Well, you know, he's not clouded in red tape, health and safety, everything else that puts people off. It is simply a walk between one pub and another, one gaffer and another, a walk with a nice cake in the middle or whatever.
Yeah. It is. It's the simplest thing in the world. A walk doesn't cost anything. You know, you've got the simple building blocks of this are getting there, a lovely walk in the outdoors, and a little cafe. And as long as the cake is spot on, it's a little slice of heaven, and it really, really works every time.
I think I've got a new blog post for you, which would be a Gera's Life in 100 Cakes.
That's a really good idea. We'd have no end of applicants for that one.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, perfect opportunities for Instagram with the photos.
And it is actually, Pete. Do you know, I'm genuinely sitting here thinking, oh, I like that idea.
let's get back to the big Step Out 24. So if people are listening that are local to Hatfield, a house on the 12th of June, and they want to come along, what do they do? Just turn up?
They can, ideally, they will get in touch with us through our website. So I can give you that name. It's carersstepping.co.uk. So there's an S on the end of carers and an S at the beginning of stepping out. So you need two S's in there. And that will give you the email address to which to send your booking. But if you just turn up on the day with your fiver, you'd be more than welcome to join us.
Excellent. And if people from elsewhere want to take, they just go to the website to register their steps?
Oh, yes. To join our Step Out 24, all they have to do, there's an email address, steppingout@gmail.com. And I can send them all the details, but they will also find all the details on that website address I've just given you.
Excellent. Well, I think they're going to get further than Hatfield Roundabout. It would be, I'm trying to think how far, actually. I think we could, you know, we could go around the globe here.
Set us a target like that. I thought you were going to say we could get to the Olympics in Paris, maybe.
Well, you know, 10,000 metres or the marathon, who knows. Yeah. It's been a pleasure. A big question to end. I always end on a big question.
Go on, then.
5 years' time, if we're chatting, which I hope we still will be, where do you hope we will have got to with this subject in 5 years' time?
Okay. I hope that we have this national community big step out every year. And I hope we get more and more people behind it so that it becomes a really celebrational occasion. And I hope that the cause of carers, because of it, this is the crucial thing, is more known, more appreciated, and more supported. Because I don't think unpaid carers want to abandon their care of the person they love or support. I just think they need a bit of TLC and proper, meaningful support in the outside world for them. And God knows they deserve it. They're unpaid, that's their title, unpaid carers in so many ways. But let's pay them back with appreciation and genuine help.
Well, Sue, it's been an absolute pleasure. Keep on stepping out, and I will join you at Hatfield House on the 12th of June.
Fantastic, Pete. We look forward to seeing you there, and I'll save you a bit of cake.
Thanks to Sue, and if you want to take part in the Big Step Out 24, you can find out all the details on the website at www.carersstepping.co.uk. And if you are around the Hertfordshire area on the 12th of June, then do come and say hello. Well, that's it for another edition of the podcast. Hope you've enjoyed it, and you'll join me again soon for some more dementia talk right here on the D Word.